Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Launching kids into the world is no joke, whether you're sending your kid to kindergarten or off to college. Some days we wonder if we're doing anything right. One thing is for sure, we all want to do it well. Hi, I'm Jamie, mom of four.
And I'm Lisa, mom of three. We're here to help and encourage you in your parenting journey. Never perfect, always honest, and in the trenches with you. We're experienced, but not experts. You ready?
Let's launch.
Jamie, I've decided that parenting is a long letting go.
Oh, I know. So true.
Did you just die a little inside?
I died a little.
I think when we think of the letting go mm-hmm. of parenting, we think about kindergarten.
Yeah.
Right?
It's our first time, really.
Yeah. It's the first time. And, you know, if you look on social media or, you know, you talk to your friends that are in that space, it's jarring when you have the kids go to kindergarten for the first time, or kind of that 5-year old space. Uh-huh. So I was thinking about my firstborn, taking him to kindergarten. I mean, this has been some years. Uh-huh. Let me just give that disclaimer.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years. Oh my word. For me, when I took him to kindergarten, I'm just going to be completely transparent, as I always am. Uh-huh. We always are here. Yeah. It was a tiny bit of a lot of things. It was a little bit of relief for me because he was ready to go to school.
Yeah.
Tiny bit challenging, very strong-willed. But of course, I thought, I can't believe we're here. Yeah. What are we doing? And honestly, for me as a mom, I felt a little successful that I had even parented a child to this point.
And now we're like, there's so much ahead of that.
Right. But for me, I was like, I honestly, I didn't have a ton of confidence in myself as a mother. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, well, we have made it to kindergarten. Yeah. That's, you know, good for that. So that was my feeling there. For me, letting go is much more tender now, which I know we'll talk about in a minute. We'll want to get there. But what was going to taking your first to kindergarten like for you?
Yeah. It was a lot harder than I would have imagined.
Okay.
I think a lot of it for me was like, where are we going to send him to school? What is that going to look like? And I remember when we dropped him off, I went in and Aaron must have stayed back with Deacon. I think we walked. We lived in a neighborhood. We could walk to school.
Yeah.
And I remember this. It's coming back to me, Lisa. I pushed the boys in a double stroller. Mm. So Caden would have been, you know, 5 years old.
Yeah.
We got to the school, and Aaron stayed outside with Deacon, and I walked in, and I was completely cool. Like, we're so excited. Miss Kirkland was his teacher's name.
Oh, you never forget that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And as I was walking out of the school, I just started bawling.
Yeah.
And it almost, I can feel that feeling right now a little bit. I also have a senior as we're recording this.
Yeah,
so this we have gone from kindergarten to senior year right now.
Yeah.
But funny story is, Caden's our oldest, and then my daughter, who's our youngest, when she went to kindergarten, mm-hmm. Aaron and I were out of town, and a friend took her to her first day.
See? Yep. That is the truest of the true about the span of kids when you
have
multiple.
I wasn't even there when she went to her first day of kindergarten.
And all the pictures that you have with your first, and then by the time you get to your last. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the letting go idea, and we're gonna unpack a lot of things in the show, because letting go is layered. I mean, if there was anything that I'm living right now, it is what we're talking about now. It is the long letting go. I mean, man, we could talk about this forever. But let's talk about this idea of letting go of, first of all, dreams and expectations.
Yeah.
Because I think that is what's difficult, but also applies on every level.
Yeah.
Like, I can remember, again, firstborn, because that's the first experience I had with sort of this idea. I can remember I thought from the beginning he was going to be an athlete because his dad was an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, just a frame of reference in my brain. That's what I'm going to say it. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted him to be an athlete. Uh-huh. And I remember he loved to draw. So he would sit for hours and draw and draw and draw. And I remember, I think he was maybe in like the fourth grade, I thought, he's not going to be the athlete. And what was interesting about that is I thought to, I kind of turned the corner and I was like, he's going to be an artist.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. Uh-huh. And about in fifth grade, at recess, he started throwing ball. Then he fell in love with it. And he ended up becoming this athlete to the point where he went and played college ball his freshman year. I mean, plot twist. And then I thought, wait, I thought you were going to be an artist. I was all
in. You're so confusing.
Right. The point is, this speaks to dreams and expectations we all have for our kids. And this can be to the point where one day we maybe can laugh about it.
Yeah.
I have stories like that. And then sometimes it's like real serious.
It's a lot of grieving can be involved as well as kind of laying down some expectations.
Hey y'all, Jamie Ivy here. I had my first child graduate from high school last year. I know it's crazy, but it was so much fun. And it was actually so much fun helping him navigate college. I loved going on school visits with him. I loved talking to him about what he was interested in. I loved going and visiting my former university that I graduated from with him. And I will admit, at some points, as fun as it was, I started to feel a little overwhelmed. I want to tell you about something in case you are in this boat. Maybe you have a junior or you have a senior, which I have two juniors right now, so I will be doing this again quite soon. But if you have a student with college on the horizon, I want to tell you about a new website to check out. FindYourChristianCollege.com. Find Your Christian College was created by the North American Coalition for Christian Admissions Professionals as a helpful resource for your college search process. The organization collaborates with hundreds of Christian colleges and universities across North America to promote Christian higher education. When you visit the website, you can explore more than 225 Christian college options through the school search engine, filtering search results based on things like size, location, majors, athletics, and more. You can also find and register to attend one of over 125 in-person Christian college fairs across the U.S. These fairs take place each fall and spring, and if you can't travel, there are virtual college fairs too. Also available at findyourchristiancollege.com is a free must-have online resource called The Guide to Christian Colleges and Universities. Help your student to follow their path, further their education, and find their future. Find out more at findyourchristiancollege.com/launch. That's findyourchristiancollege.com/launch.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You got it. Come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
My best girlfriend, we've been friends since ninth grade. Her oldest daughter is a year older than my oldest. So she's already graduated high school, and she has a diagnosis along the lines of autism. And I remember my friend telling me one time about her having to grieve the fact that her daughter will never get married. And her having to grieve the fact that her daughter could live with them as long as they're alive.
Yeah.
Her having to grieve the fact that she didn't go to sleepovers, that she didn't live this daughter life that she thought she was going to have. And when, you know, you think of letting go is of dreams and expectations. I, too, have my own of my kids, like, oh, I thought I was going to create this or have this or whatever. And then for some people who are listening, like my friend Amy, there's letting go of really, really, really hard things.
Yes. I think, you know, people listening are all over the map here. And we all have something that we have had to let go or are having to let go right now as we're listening. I mean, my mind is swimming with things that are very serious to things that are very, you know, that are funny. I mean, I think about my daughter when we went to Disney and I had packed this Cinderella dress for her because it was, I don't know, she was like five, six years old. My mother-in-law had bought that really elaborate Cinderella dress. We had bought the Disney Cinderella Castle experience, right? And so I was all excited for the picture op, all of those things. And unbeknownst to me, she had slipped in her suitcase her Chuck E. Cheese t-shirt and a mask that one of her brothers had for Ninja Turtles. Uh-huh. And so the day that we were going to do this Disney Cinderella experience, she wanted to be Super Chucky, not Cinderella's little sister princess. And so in our pictures, we have her as Super Chucky. And I mean, that's silly, but the reality is I was all in with her being Cinderella in the dress. And it's symbolic, Jamie, of like what we dream for our kids. And here's the point. They have to be who they are, right? And maybe we want them to be an athlete, but maybe they're an artist. Or maybe we want them to be an artist, but they, you know, love something else. And I think that, sure, we guide them, and this is a, you know, a nuanced conversation, of course, but a lot of times it has to do with us.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Right.
And our idea of, does this make me look better as a mom?
Yeah.
If they look this way, if they act this way, if they are the star of this, right?
Oh, it's so hard because I think what is hard is sometimes we can find our identity in our children. And so if we're finding our identity, and I think we might say that in every podcast in this whole series, if we're finding our identity in our kids, all of these things are going to be beyond difficult.
Yes.
Because it is difficult when we put who we want our kids to be on them, and that's not who they are.
Right.
You know, you started this with like the whole process is letting go. And I think sometimes letting go is just when your kids are moving to different stages in life. And as a mom, it can just be hard because, you know, you said you were ready for your son to go to kindergarten because he was a little strong-willed. I kind of felt that about one of my kids, I'm not going to lie. But there are also some stages that you kind of go, I loved that so much. You know, I have one particular son who would snuggle with me a lot. And I'm a physical touch girl. Like, I hug me, touch me, hold my hand. So one of my kids liked it too.
Yeah.
And so we would snuggle and he'd like sit next to me when he was little and watch a movie. Yeah. And you know, my 17-year-old boys just aren't doing that anymore.
Not into it.
Yeah. And they shouldn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, this is a very typical journey for a boy.
Yeah, of course.
And I, you know, this is kind of a silly story, but whenever my husband would travel, he used to travel a lot, and I would let my kids rotate sleeping with me.
Yeah.
It would be like, who's sleeping with mom tonight? I mean, you know, they're like in second grade.
Yeah.
And I have big kids now. They're all in high school. And the other day, jokingly, I said, Dad's gone. Who wants to sleep with me? And they all rolled their eyes like, Mom, that's so dumb. And I was like, oh, you guys used to love sleeping with me. And so I kind of reminisced about it, whatever. Well, then I was out of town. And my husband told me that our oldest, him and they watched a movie in our bed and he just ended up sleeping in there.
Yeah.
And there was this little moment of like, I remember that and I loved it. But that's gone and it's fine and it's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. But we let go of stages all the time.
That's
true. I mean,
true.
You know, we let go of where our kids are and what they're doing and what they like. And then they get older.
Yes.
And then we're having to really let go.
And what you're talking about, honestly, is control.
Oh, don't say it because I like control.
I know. You know, oh, Jamie, I mean, like, honestly, this show of all of them touched me in the most tender place because I think really for me in the last year or two, I've realized how much control I don't have. I mean, I've always known that, but I think you know it in a different way when your kids get a little bit older, when they get to be young adults. I think there's a new level of surrender. I mean, when they're little, you can pick what they wear. You can pick what they eat, right? But then they get older and sometimes they make choices that you wouldn't choose for them.
Yep.
And it is like letting go of this control or this illusion of control.
Right.
That's what it really is. Yeah. And sometimes that feels like a death. And so that's really, really hard. And then what you were talking about, which is sort of loss of level of connection, which the letting go of that is kind of important because, you know, it's not always going to be what it was.
Yes.
Right? I mean, like, it's healthy that your 17-year-old boys don't want to sleep in the bed with you. I'm not being silly. I'm just...
No, that's a healthy growth it's of healthy. Journey. Yeah.
And what it really is an emotional dependency.
Yeah.
You know, because what you're doing is you're preparing them for the next level of life. You hear that all the time. But it's really true. And I will tell you this. I got to one point with especially one of my kids, but with all of them, where I said, am I meeting my needs here or am I meeting their needs?
That's good.
Because I thought, this feels really good to me right now, but I think I'm actually keeping them from their growth.
Yeah.
And that's what is important.
I think this is like this subject of letting go. You know, the show is called Launch. And that's what our goal here as parents is to launch kids into the world. And Aaron and I tell our kids all the time, we're not trying to raise great teenagers. We're trying to raise great adults.
Mm.
So, you know, letting go is that whole journey of doing that is how do we actually do this? And you have to tell me this because do you consider yourself an empty nester? I mean,
that's
you don't want to give yourself that name yet?
No, it's not that I'm not. It's that we're not because I still have a college kid that lives at home.
Okay, so
no.
Empty nesting is when they are on their own, not on your bills.
Like you don't have anyone living in your house.
Okay. Still.
That's how I frame it at least.
Yeah.
Yes, not on your bills.
But most of the year, it's just you and Scotty.
No, because I have a college kid living at home.
Oh, that's true. Not your daughter. Mm-mm. You have a son living at home.
I still have one living at home because he goes to college in town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Not
there yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you afraid of it?
I'm really not.
Okay. We're not. And I still have high school kids.
Yeah.
Aaron and I say often, maybe we just say this when they're acting like jerks.
Yes. You probably do.
Yeah. We're like, I remember they were acting like jerks recently. Aaron's like, when are y'all all leaving? Because we're going to be just fine without y'all.
My husband says that all the time. Yeah. I'm not afraid of it, but I am. It is a little, I think it will be a little weird though, when the house is completely quiet. Because you have to realize you're in a flurry of activity. You probably want that quiet. But I do think it is a little odd.
Well, I'm going to get on a little soapbox here.
Go
for
ahead.
A minute. You know, you see online, people are like, don't complain about the shoes left around the house because one day you'll miss
it. Right, right.
I'm like, no, I'm not going to miss the shoes around the house. I'm going to miss the kids that wear the shoes.
Yes.
But I'm not going to be like, oh, I wish there were people here leaving their stuff all over my house.
No, I feel that. Yeah. I actually feel that. And I do think this is what is genius about God. Okay. He has literally made these seasons for seasons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, because I have friends, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I have friends whose kids are gone and they are empty nesting. And there's like the sex is way better between me and my husband than it was when we had kids at home. And I feel that. I'm sorry if my kids are listening. But the thing is, my kids are still at home. But I see we're inching towards that. Yeah. And I'm like, I think when my house is empty and I'm not worried about a kid being two doors down,
right,
my mind is going to be a lot freer.
When your house is empty, you can get all frisky.
Yeah.
There you go with that.
Listen, we can talk. We're grown women.
We're grown women.
We can talk about this, and I feel like people listening can hear it.
Today, millions around the world are suffering as a result of violence, oppression, and extreme poverty. Sometimes this endless cycle of suffering can feel overwhelming. If you're like me, you want to play a part in bringing an end to suffering. And at the same time, I think we all want our children to have a deeper understanding of the needs in the world and guide them towards becoming generous and compassionate adults. But sometimes it's hard to know exactly where to start and who to trust. That's why I'm super excited to tell you about The Path from our friends at World Relief. The Path is a community of bold, compassionate people of faith who are committed to fighting against suffering and injustice in pursuit of lasting change with their monthly gifts to World Relief. Whether it's a crisis in Ukraine, an earthquake in Haiti, or a wave of refugees from Afghanistan, you can trust that The Path community is already there, responding with the love of Jesus alongside you and your family and your children. Empowered by the monthly support from the PATH community, World Relief is making a difference around the world, and you can be a part of it. You guys, I personally love the work that World Relief is doing with the PATH community. I trust them and I believe in them, and I want to give you the opportunity to join as well. You can join the PATH community of monthly givers by visiting worldrelief.org/launch. That's worldrelief.org/launch, L-A-U-N-C-H. Launch your kids into life by leading them to love like Jesus. Join the PATH at worldrelief.org/launch. today.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like
good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
One of the scary things about letting go, and I don't know if that is even like going to kindergarten, going to middle school, going to high school, going off to college, getting married. I mean, there's all these seasons of letting go. Yeah. And one of the seasons that I'm in right now, which you can kind of help speak to, is I'm about to send our very first out of high school. Mm-hmm. And so I've told myself often, this isn't the end of me parenting him.
Yeah.
But it is the end of this season. And yeah. There's truth to that, and that's okay. Part of the scary thing for me about letting go, and it goes back to control, is just not knowing everything that's going on in his life.
Yep.
And that makes me, it makes me feel a lot of things. It makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
It makes me feel anxious. Yeah. It makes me feel worried. It makes me feel all of these things, and I think I have felt them before at different seasons, but he lived in my house.
Yeah.
And so you've been here, done that.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out a little bit with what I have ahead of me.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to tell you the hard part is that it changes your family dynamic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll just tell you, it does. It changes your family dynamic. And I think that was something that you have to understand in advance. Like, you are letting go of this, like, party of whatever.
Six.
Party of six.
Ivy party of
five.
Six.
Party of four. Like, you're going to have to. It does. It changes it. That's tough, and you're going to mourn that a little bit. And I'm a big believer in, like, acknowledging that, you know, letting yourself mourn that, however it is. But you will be okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Like, we've all done it. The moms that it's been the hardest on, we all love our kids. It's all like the thing. You'll be okay. I think it's really important that you ask them respectfully to stay in touch with you, especially boys. I will say boys are very different.
Yeah.
My daughter is in touch with me and on a completely different level than my boys ever were.
Yeah.
But respectfully ask him to keep in touch with you, but also don't smother, because they have to grow.
Yeah.
They have to establish that. And sometimes the more we push, the more they back off. And it's just, then it gets really weird. I remember when we dropped my first off at college, they said to us, please don't show up unexpectedly when your kid, like, to surprise your kid, because it will go terribly.
Oh.
Yeah, like, don't just pop
in. No surprise college visits.
Like, that's not, it seems cute, but it's really not cute. So don't do that. And I think that was a good mind thing for me to know, like, oh, something that I as a mom would think is so precious, like, my son will be horrified.
Right.
I think also don't underestimate how tough the freshman college year is.
Yeah.
It's for them, it's just as hard, because they're going to miss you. They miss home. They don't know what to do with it. So that's also interesting. And I don't know, Jamie. I feel like that one of the ways that we can help ourselves along the way, because I feel like we're talking to some moms who maybe their kids in kindergarten, maybe their child's in middle school, you know, and maybe they're in junior in high school.
Yeah.
It's never too late. It is so important to find something for yourself.
That's so good. Yeah.
that you can have for yourself. I think we put ourselves last on the list. We say, oh, we've just got to pour all in.
Yeah.
But pouring all in doesn't mean you also don't have things that you love that serve the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. that use your gifts. I know you're big mm-hmm. into like use your gifts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, speaking yeah. to that for a well, minute, because I know you love that idea.
You know, I thought, and this again is, I'm going to use the word typical, but everyone has a different story. Some people have kids later. Some people have kids who have special needs that this is not going to be their story. So just hear me yes. say this. But if you think about it in like a most scenarios, you're going to be married longer without your kids in your home than you are with them in your home.
Mm.
If you got married in your 20s, you had kids, and again, every story is completely different, but just stick with me with this,
yes.
this kind of saying here, is that do I want to spend that last half of my life not knowing what to do with myself?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first half, all I did was just like pour everything into my kid, which hear me, you and I both, we love our kids. We love oh. being a mom. We love all the things.
Yeah.
But I also want to say, God, what do you want me to do with my life?
Yes.
In 5 years, I have no kids at home anymore. You know?
Right.
And so I think it's so important to find what can you pour your life into and what can you do so that when they are gone, yes, there's that hole because mm. you're missing, like, we're no longer a party of six, we're a party of five.
Yeah.
But there also is, I haven't lost my purpose in life.
Mm.
And again, we've said it before, when all of your identity is revolving around your children, when they are gone, whether that's through going to university, whether that's through getting married, whether that's through, God forbid, the worst thing in the world, something happened to them.
Right.
When your identity is wrapped up in that, then you don't even know who did God create Jamie to be
yes.
or Lisa to be.
Yes.
Because being a mom is one of the things he created me to be.
So true.
And so, that's what I have believed that in my heart and soul really deeply. I'm hoping that's going to help me in this letting go process.
It really will. The other thing I think it does, Jamie, is it puts pressure on the kids.
Mm.
It really does.
Yeah.
Like it gives them this job.
Yeah.
Like to meet all your needs. Mm. And I just feel like that is that's a really hard job.
Yeah.
Is to sort of like take care of you, to parent you. Like it's not time for that yet.
Right.
There will be a time for that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really tender for me. I kind of started out the show talking about how yes, kindergarten was tough for me, but I don't want to cry. For me, the letting go part, like, it's been the hardest for me in the last couple of years because I have older kids and I've had to die to myself in a new way. I've had to open my hands in a new way. And I've had to realize the places that the identity pieces, even though I've had a job, a fulfilling ministry, a fulfilling life outside of my role of mothering for years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've loved so deeply what I do with my kids, and I don't apologize for that at all. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. My oldest son was getting ready to get married last June. And I always want to make moments, you know? And so he was getting ready to get married. We were going to have like this last family dinner, which also... last family dinner. I mean, that sounds so like
yeah, it sounds very final, morbid.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I even said it to my son, and he was like, "Mom, I'm really not going anywhere. I'm like not moving away." But I wanted us all to sit around the table and talk about what we loved about him.
Yeah,
you know, and just give him like this encouraging word. But Jamie, all it ended up being was super weird. He hated it. He's an Enneagram 9, so like this is like a weird
yeah.
vibe for him. And then it made me feel like I was unappreciated for what I tried to do. And I ended up crying at the table. And it was a disaster.
And I'm picturing the whole thing. Oh, you thought it was going to be this like
yes.
Ebenezer moment for the Whittles.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yep.
I thought I am brilliant for coming up with
yeah.
this.
Yep.
Disastrous.
They're
going to
talk about this forever about yes. how awesome mom
oh.
was.
Oh, yeah.
But they are talking
We've
about it.
We talk about it forever, just not in that way. Yeah. And it was just, it was not necessary. You know what I should have done? Here's what I should have done.
Yeah.
What I should have done is what I gave my friend advice to do about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have remembered this. She was on her way to, I think it was her son's maybe rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
And it was her only son. Okay. And she was getting ready to go to this rehearsal dinner. So, I mean, you know, your only child, he's getting married, whatever. And she called me and she said, I don't think I can do this. What am I going to do? And I said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to do exactly what you've done for, I think, 25 years. Yeah. He was about 25. You're going to mom him so hard. And he's not going to even know how hard you're momming him. But you're going to mom him so hard by not giving him a job on his wedding to take care of you. Mm. You're going to take care of him just like all the times he got sick and you fed him chicken noodle soup, just like all the times he scraped his knee and you took care of him, and the times you swallowed it when he actually hurt you and you gave him your last bite of pie. You're going to do the same thing. And here's what I want you to do, because I know you're hurting. I can hear it in your voice. She was sobbing, Jamie. Yeah. I said, I want you to write him a letter tonight, and I want you to tell him everything you feel. Get it out. Like, write it all down. And don't give it to him, but just write it. And let go of him tonight in that letter. And she told me later, she said, Lisa, it was I was able to go to the dance the next day, like do the mother-son dance the next day and get it out, whatever. Jamie, if I'd only taken my own advice, we wouldn't have had that weird dinner. We're both crying, by the way.
I am bawling because I just, like, I think I'm, like, so strong about Caden leaving.
Yeah.
And I think I'm really...
Oh, it's hard.
Why am I crying like this? I feel like I'm going to miss him so much.
Yeah, you're going to miss him. And you know what? You are going to miss him. And it is okay to say, I'm going to miss him. I promise when my son and any of my kids were about to graduate, I was like you. I was okay a lot of the time. And then all of a sudden it would hit me.
Yes, because I am so happy for him.
Of course you are.
I am so happy. I want him to soar.
Yes.
I am not asking him to stay home.
No.
I want him to go. I want him to fly.
Yes.
I want him to change the world. I want him to love Jesus. I want all of those things.
Yes.
And I just like him a lot.
You like him a lot.
I like him a lot.
Yes. And this is what you've mommed him hard for 18 years.
Yeah. I want him to go.
Yes. But. It's the tension. It's the tension of hard and good. You just living in it, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And we cry, and we give it to God, and we go on, and this is letting go.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more question for you. Because, like, okay, sending a kid off to college is one thing. But you had a kid get married. I mean, obviously, you're trying to have the last dinner. The last supper.
The last weird dinner.
The last weird dinner.
Yeah.
You know, this journey of continually letting go, which is so good that you said that. It doesn't change. Like, I feel like I'm just trying to wrap my head around, like, we're continually having to do this
all the time
because next he's gonna have a baby.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's just one thing after another of us changing, which is why I guess we have to just live this open hand life with our kids.
One of my sons, my other son, was saying to me, he was teasing, there was like a thing on Twitter where there was a debate whether when you started dating someone, if you would let your significant other sit in the front seat or whether your mother would continue to sit in the front seat. And we were teasing, he said to me, he goes, hey, mom, because he's not dating anyone. Yeah. He said, when I have a girlfriend, are you going to let her sit in the front seat or are you going to sit in the front seat? And I promise, Jamie, I said with my voice, of course she'll sit in the front seat. But I had to swallow really hard.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, back seat.
Yep.
But that is the long letting go.
Yeah, it is. You know, another thing that we have to let go of as parents is when our kids start getting significant others.
Mm.
And for you, it's marriage right now. You know, I've got teenagers in high school. And, you know, one of my teenagers has a girlfriend. And although she's not like his, they're not getting married, all those things, but she's very important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that. And I value that relationship that they have. But there's some connections lost that I've had to let go of. I've had to let go of her knowing things before I do.
Mm.
And that has been really hard for me. But also, this is what we're preparing them for. We're preparing them to have relationships outside of their mom and dad. And this is the first one that we've had.
It's always letting go from the time they go to kindergarten.
Yeah.
Honestly, from the time they take their steps, from the time they crawl, they take their steps, they, you know, you put them in the nursery at church and you're like terrified, especially with your first one.
Listen, when I put my first one in the nursery, they gave him a goldfish and I hadn't fed him goldfish yet. Like I hadn't done it yet.
Oh.
I went to my girlfriend. I was like, I'm complaining. Who do I complain to? And she had like a fifth grader, a sixth grader, a seventh grader. I had like, you know, a 4 month old.
Yeah.
And she was like, how about we just think about it a little bit? Like, do you really want to complain? I'm like, yes. They gave him goldfish before I could.
Oh, see?
It's control.
Yes, but it's always this, it's literally like you love them so much, you do everything for them, but you're asked to let them go, and it's healthy.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you're doing with Caden, and it's exactly what we do with our kids, and our minds can't fathom it, but God is so gracious to give us these seasons and give us this place to where by the time it's time. We will open our hands and we'll let go.
Elise Fitzpatrick holds a certificate in biblical counseling and an MA in biblical counseling from Trinity Theological Seminary. She's authored 25 books on daily living and the Christian life. Elise loves to proclaim the good news of the gospel. She's a frequent speaker at national conferences. She's been married for over 40 years and has 3 adult children and 6 really adorable grandchildren. Along with her husband, Phil, Elise attends Grace Bible Church in Escondido, California. We're happy to have Elise joining us for this topic of letting go. We wanted to have her voice on this issue because she's launched Kids Into the World and she's in a season ahead of us. Here is my friend, Elise Fitzpatrick.
Hi there. My name is Elise Fitzpatrick, and I am so happy to spend some time just reflecting on everything that Jamie and Lisa just talked about, letting go. Here's my story. I have 3 adult children and 6 almost adult grandchildren, and letting go has been so much a part of my life, far more a part of my life than I ever thought it would be. I loved listening to how they talked about how life changes and then you just have to let go of one thing after another. I recently returned from a vacation with my whole family. That would be my kids and their kids and even an added significant other. And it was really wonderful. And as I sat there and looked at all of them, we had several days together. It was really marvelous. But I know this isn't going to last forever. And I've had to learn that over the time that we have had together as a family. You know, one time I heard someone say that life is a series of divestitures. That means that we get things and then they go away. And you know, I've really seen that. I've seen it in my own life. I see it when I walk by those family pictures, you know, that we put up in our homes, and I see them when they were little, and they used to cuddle with me. You know, they used to get in bed with me, and not so much anymore, not even their kids anymore. And I would reminisce. I can easily reminisce. And then you see the choices that they make, and some of them make you happy and some of them trouble you, and yet you know you're the grandma. And for me, at least, what that means is I keep my opinions to myself unless I am asked for an opinion. That's just me. That doesn't have to be the way it is for everybody, but that's the way it is for me. Let me remind you, you know, the Bible is not silent at all about the changes that we go through. And Ecclesiastes 3 says there is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, going down, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. Listen, nothing in this life remains the same. And part of what I think that means is that we have to learn the lesson of letting go. I am so happy for the way that this podcast has talked about that, how Jamie and Lisa talked about what it means to let go. And yet, you know, it's difficult because you have to wonder, Lord, why did you give this family to me, these kids to me, and tell me to pour myself into them and invest myself in them and love them the way you've commanded me to love them, and then require from me that I give them away? You know, we're not the only mothers that have ever had to do that. I was just thinking today about the Virgin Mary and how she willingly gave her body and her reputation up in order to bring Jesus, the Son of God, into the world. And yet, she had to give him away. She was there, standing at the foot of the cross, while he gave away his life for us. So, friends, you know, I wish I could tell you, God's going to give you really wonderful times, and these wonderful times will just never end. Of course, here, they do end. Everything changes. There's a time to live and a time to die, a time to gather your kids up together with you, and a time to let them go, a time to look at the pictures when they were little and so cuddly and wonderful, and a time to look at the pictures of them getting married and moving away. That's what this life is. But here's the really great news, and honestly, the only place where I have real hope is that a day is coming when on the new heaven and the new earth, at some point in our resurrected bodies, we will gather together with our children and will never, ever, never have to say goodbye or worry about how much time we're taking out of their busy schedule. We can just sit and visit with them because time will be no more. So friends, love deeply, care deeply, give your life away, and just know that a day is coming when you won't have to do that anymore. And in that, you can rejoice.
Launch is a production of Ivy Media Podcasts. Executive producer is Jamie Ivy. Produced and edited by Angie Elkins. Art by Noel Rhodes. Original music by Matt Graham. Your co-hosts are myself, Jamie Ivy, and Lisa Whittle. Thank you for listening.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.